And hello and welcome to another episode of Leaning Right. I'm Gary Mack, your intrepid host, and I hope that everybody has had a good couple of weeks since our last get together. And lots of things going on, but before we get started, remember, if you'd like to contact the show, you can at our email address, which is leaningrightnow@gmail.com. And you can also call our hotmail, voicemail, comment, feedback, hotline, whatever you want to call it, at 516-619-6341. And don't forget that the show is available at Podomatic.com as well as on iTunes and also on Stitcher Smart Radio. So let's get started. It's been a very busy few weeks. And, of course, the main topic of conversation has been the Republican candidates lining up for the presidency and Herman Cain, his ascendancy to the top rung, if you will, of the pecking order. He's right up there now with Mitt Romney, as Rick Perry has fallen down. And Newt Gingrich is making a surprise bid up there as he continues to climb. And news coming out in the past, week, 10 days, has been about Herman Cain and some alleged sexual harassment, sexual misconduct accusations that have come out about his time at the National Restaurant Association somewhere 15 years ago, roughly, 13, 15 years ago. Cain has been accused of making suggestive comments to female subordinates while serving as president of the NRA, yet he is given conflicting accounts, and that's really the big thing that's really been hurting him. He has given conflicting accounts about what, if anything, he knew about the alleged incidents, as well as whether any financial settlements came about to two of his accusers that were reportedly received from the trade group. It's possible the trade group settled things and he did not know about it, though he did admit to knowing about one and thought it was more of a severance pay as one of the persons, the women were let go. And just in this past week, a lawyer for one of Cain's accusers disclosed that she alleged several incidents of sexual harassment in a complaint filed more than a decade ago. So one does not know whether these accusers are coming out of the woodwork because now he's reached a certain pinnacle in the party. We don't know. He has blamed the mainstream media. He's blamed liberals. And he's also made accusations against Rick Perry's campaign that they had something to do with the release of this information. Something is up. We're not quite sure. And it will have to be watched and see what comes out of it. The strange part about this whole situation so far is that it has not seemed to hurt him in the polls at all, especially in Iowa, where the first big test will come about. And actually, in a lot of other states, too, it doesn't seem to be bothering anybody. As of now, but people say they do need to know more about the accusations that he sexually harassed women who worked for him in the 90s. A lot of voters don't feel it's a big deal. Now, why is it not a big deal? Is it because the people are just tired of hearing the same stuff? Do we just expect it now of our politicians? Is it that people are tired of the liberal media jumping on Republicans when something this comes about, but yet trying to cover up when it's done on the other side of the aisle, when the liberals come up with the same kind of thing, such as John Edwards and Jesse Jackson back in the 80s, and, of course, Bill Clinton. Or are we just so attuned to it now, and it just seems so commonplace that nobody really cares? I think it's a very tough issue. It's an issue to be watched. A lot of times these cases, organizations will settle, or big corporations will settle with someone and pay them off because it's cheaper to do that than to be dragged into court and to ruin somebody's reputation completely. So it's easier just to buy them off. It's not always the right thing to do because it does leave a certain taste in your mouth that there may be some guilt involved. And sometimes there may not be, but it's just simply easier to pay them to go away than to fight a lot of these accusations. So was that the case? Did the organization, the National Restaurant Association, pay off these ladies just to quiet them down? And perhaps Herman Cain didn't know much about the settlements or what went on, but was it done or was it not done? That all remains to be seen, and we'll have to come out in the wash and we'll see what happens. But Herman Cain is still going strong, sharing the lead in many states with Mitt Romney. And as I said before, Rick Perry seems to be sliding down a little bit as Newt Gingrich is making a strong comeback. And I was just watching the Herman Cain-Newt Gingrich debate that they did Lincoln-Douglas style. They seemed to get away from that after a few minutes, but it was a fascinating event, and I would urge everybody to go to cspan.org and look for the video. I think you'll find it very interesting. It's a dealing with the entitlements and how they would handle it. And as I said, it was just the two of them, and it really gave them a lot of time to go in-depth to these problems and answer the questions that were posed to them by the moderator. And they had plenty of time to answer and to flesh out their ideas. And I have to say that Newt Gingrich is... the man is a genius, and you listen to him, and you shake your head and wonder why he's not leading the polls or why he's not president at the ready. I don't know what it is. I know he has some baggage, but we should have gotten over that by now. We know what happened with the affairs and the wife and that sort of thing. We know about that from the last time. Now, should that still affect him? I don't know. He brought up some interesting points, though, as he was talking to Herman Cain about the entitlement programs and answering a question. And he said that they both come from a different point of view, in that Herman Cain was in the private sector and went to the public sector, and Newt Gingrich went from the public sector to the private sector. So both men have a vast experience in both sides of the aisle, if you will, the public sector and the private sector, though Newt Gingrich clearly has the bigger advantage there. And the man is just a genius, and if he's not the candidate, then I hope somebody gets him into a cabinet post. The same with Herman Cain. Herman Cain handled himself extremely well in his debate, though clearly Newt Gingrich does have a better handle on some of the arguments and the facts. But very interesting. I urge everybody to go to cspan.org and to check out this Cain-Gingrich debate, Lincoln-Douglas style. It was very interesting and really gives you a lot of insight into what these two men are thinking and what their plans are as far as entitlements and what ideas they have towards that. Again, this was a very narrow debate, and it did not include all the circus atmosphere of multiple moderators and multiple candidates, and more telling. And I hope that other stations or networks or whatever will do more of these type of debates. Perhaps they can invite Perry and Romney to one and have a similar style debate on some of the other issues that are affecting us. But that's really the news on that front. As Perry starts to slide, Kane is still on top, even though the accusations of sexual harassment are floating around. Not being hurt by that. Romney continues to float along at a 23%, 25%, somewhere in that. Hasn't really improved on that, and that may be a concern, even though he's a front runner and has been consistent at that percentage. He hasn't been able to build on that and to get a higher percentage of people interested in him. And that could be a problem going down the road, is maybe that's his number and that's it. Newt Gingrich continues to rise and in some areas is seen as the number three man right now. And Perry has dropped down to four in quite a bit of different polls. So we have that all going on, and at the same time, the Occupy Wall Street event is still going on, if you will, but it is starting to turn violent in a number of other cities that they are occupying, mostly in Oakland, where it has been a free-for-all over the last few weeks, with the anarchists and the socialists really getting the upper hand and taking control of the movement out there. And this is something that has really gone on too long. The mayors of New York and Oakland allowed this to go on and have done really nothing about it. And in Oakland, it's really a shame. If you look at some of the videos on YouTube of what's been going on, is they're turning that into a real war zone down there. They're starting fires in the streets. They're busting windows. They're painting graffiti all over stores and banks, and it's just disgusting. And to hear these anarchists and these liberals and these socialists talk about how they wish everything was and how they're going to take over and this, that, and the other thing, it's really disturbing and really disgusting. And if you had leadership by mayors that had any guts to end this all, it should have been over by now, and yet we do not have that. Here in New York, of course, Mayor Bloomberg, who originally came out and said that they can stay as long as they want, now is backing down off of that. And he's hiding behind this whole idea that Zuccotti Park is a privately owned park that's open to the public. And he can't do anything until the owners request help in the situation. Yet the fire department was sent in by the mayor to check for generators and to check for any things of that nature, heaters, anything at all like that. They were sent in and allowed to confiscate, yet he is afraid, I guess, to shut down this camp. And, of course, the rumor here in New York is that they are waiting for the temperatures to drop below 32 degrees and then certain ordinances will click in and they'll be able to hopefully evacuate them without any violence. So far, it's been relatively quiet in New York. No major acts of violence on the outside, though inside the camp itself, there are reports of all kinds of rapes, assaults, theft. And this utopia of socialism, there are some cracks in the armor with a lot of these people. As I said, they're complaining about theft, and now the latest is complaints about the homeless people that they're making accusations that the police are sending homeless people down there because there's free food. And the folks don't like it. They don't like the homeless coming around and taking their food. But I thought this was the utopia. This was the wonderful, we love everybody socialists, and we don't need anything to survive. And yet they're attacking the homeless, calling them freeloaders, and are mad that they're coming down and taking food. So, it's not the utopia, it's not the socialism that they thought it was. And it's amazing if you look around and see all the different stories, how you'll see that they're no different from anybody else. I mean, they really start to want everything that we want. I mean, for instance, they have a financial committee, and it has nearly $500,000 in the bank. And the donations come in, but they're not sharing the wealth with other protesters, and now they're starting to fray tempers, and you know, there's a lot of annoyance going on as they do this constant drumming, and they get donations. People drop donations, I guess, for the drummings, and they're getting mad, the drummers, that they're getting no money to replace or to guard their drums after a midnight vandal destroyed some of their instruments. And they wanted to replace them, and they asked for money and were turned down. One guy who was in Occupy Wall Street actually said he hopes Mayor Bloomberg gets an injunction and demands to see the movement's books. They would like to see how much money is actually coming in and where is it all going. And so this is where this is now. What am I talking about? So they have a number of these groups, and they have a comfort group that's charged with finding out what basic needs campers need, and doling out the money, but it doesn't seem to be going out as fast as some of these people would like. And so they're turning into the banks. They're turning into the things that they're protesting. And it starts to fall apart. Because, my friends, as we've said many, many times, socialism doesn't work. It doesn't work. All you have to do is look at Greece. They're rioting in the streets. They're burning down. They're broke. They're bankrupt. And they have a socialist government. It doesn't work. It never has worked. And it never will, because eventually somebody's got to pay. You can't keep taxing the rich. You can't keep taking and taking and giving and giving. But what happens is then the upper class, the ruling class, the Politburo, whatever you want to call them, they're living high on a hog. They're living good. And everybody else is living lousy. And here we see on a small level that all these committee members and everything, they're living pretty good on this Occupy Wall Street, yet the money's not filtering in itself down. On that tiny level, we see how bad socialism is and how it does not work. And yet these stupid, ignorant ideologues that are down in this Occupy movement all across the country don't get it. They don't get it. The government can't hire everybody to work. The government can't pay for your college tuition. The government can't excuse your student loan. You're the one that went to college. You're the one that picked the subject matter you wanted to study. And I was thinking about this the other day, that maybe everybody shouldn't go to college. When I was younger, we had trade schools. We had, in our high school, we had auto repair and welding, and they don't teach these things anymore. They want everybody to be an academic, but everybody is not an academic. Steve Jobs dropped out of college because he didn't like the courses they were forcing on him. He just showed up for classes that he liked. Bill Gates is a college dropout. Can anybody argue about their success? Not everyone is cut out for college, and maybe we shouldn't all go to college. Maybe there has to be alternatives. And maybe there has to be alternatives for everything. But this Occupy Wall Street, they want the government to do it all. They want medical care. They want student free college tuition. They want free this, free that. Well, what are you going to do for it? Are you going to do anything at all for it? I don't think you are. Because it doesn't seem that you're willing to do anything. And keep in mind, as this movement continues to grow and spread, we are starting to see the violent factor come out. There will be more. There will be more breaking of windows. There will be more of what is happening in Oakland going on. And also keep in mind that this movement has the full support of President Obama as well as the Democrats. So when they start backing away from it because of the violence, when they start backing away from it because of the violence, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. They have come out in support of it. It's their Tea Party, as they've said. This is nothing like the Tea Party. The Tea Party never had a history of violence. The Tea Party never had arrests on a mass scale. The Tea Party never burnt garbage in the middle of streets. The Tea Party never broke windows as they rampaged through a downtown area. Watch the videos. These animals in Oakland, this is what they're doing. They took over the port of Oakland and shut it down. And that's just the start. Just the start. So, remember, this Occupy movement has the backing of Obama and the Democrats. And remember that when you go to vote. And we'll be back right after these messages. You can now hear our show while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. On demand news, talk, and more on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Available for your iPhone, Android phone, WebOS phone, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher, smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. This is President Willie, and you're listening to Leaning Right with Gary Mack. It's my favorite show on the internet. Just don't tell Hillary.
The U.S. Supreme Court says that teachers cannot be forced to pay full union dues, but that's exactly what it feels like at my school. I learned that the First Amendment allows me to resign from the union and stop supporting union politics, but I do want to belong to a professional group. What can I do?
The Association of American Educators Foundation wants you to know that you do have options. To learn more, please go to www.aaeteachers.org or call toll-free 800-704-7799.
Okay, and we're back. And don't forget 516-619-6341. That's the hotline, the voicemail, comment, feedback line, whatever you wish to call it. But do call it and give us any questions you may have. And the email is leaningrightnow@gmail.com. And I've got a few emails this week, and I probably should have mentioned it earlier in the show. And people ask me who am I supporting for the Republican nomination for president. And to be honest, I haven't made up my mind yet. There are a couple of candidates that I'm looking into. I do like Newt Gingrich. I like Newt. Not sure whether he can be elected, but I do like the man. I think he's a genius. I think he would be fantastic in debates, but I don't know. There's something... I don't know whether or not he can get the nomination. I know he has a little bit of baggage and all, and that could be the factor that stops him or slows him down. And it's really a shame because the man is definitely very, very bright, knows his material, has some plans, and he's been successful. Let's not forget the contract with America when he was Speaker of the House. He was probably one of the best speakers we've had in our generation, or in my generation at least. Even though Obama is trying to tell us that Pelosi was one of the finest speakers. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to get whatever he's smoking up there in the White House. I don't think it's Winston's or Marlboro's. If he thinks Pelosi has been one of the best speakers of the House. So I like Newt Gingrich. I like Herman Cain. I think he's got a lot good things to say with his 999 plan. I'm not totally sold on that yet, but... Herman's got some good ideas, and I like the fact that he comes from the private sector and has run some very large corporations and associations, and he knows how that side of the ledger works and would bring a lot of good experience to Washington. So I like Herman Cain. I like Newt Gingrich. I like Michelle Bachmann, but I think she has fallen down and is a little gap prone. Gaffe prone, I should say, and don't know about her. I know a lot of my fellow conservatives would be angry at me for saying this, but I like Mitt Romney also. I think we have to see what Romney really is saying and get him more, I guess the word cornered, is it doesn't sound right, but get him more down on what he is going to do. Although there are those that consider him to be a rhino. But look, if he's the candidate and the polls show he can beat Obama, our main goal should be to defeat Barack Obama. And if we have to elect someone that's not as conservative as we would like, it should be done. Because the alternative is worse. Wouldn't you rather have someone that shares 75 or 80% of your beliefs than to have somebody that shares none of your beliefs in office? I think you would. And then what you do is you turn the Senate over to the Republicans by electing conservative candidates there and keeping conservative candidates and keeping the House of Representatives. And at least then you have a little bit of a check and balance. So I like some of the things that Romney is saying and doing. Rick Perry, I like Rick Perry, but there's something, and I can't put my finger on it. I'm not quite sure, but there is something there that keeps me an arm's length away, let's say. Don't know what it is, can't put my finger on it, but something about Rick Perry. So, as I say, so far I have not made up my mind. I do like Newt Gingrich, I like Herman Cain, and I like Mitt Romney. And of the three, I haven't really decided about anything. And, of course, they all have baggage. Newt has the whole affair thing, and Cain has the sexual harassment now, and Romney has Romney Care. But I think at some point in time we have to get over that and look, because our economy is in such bad shape and our country is in bad shape that we need something, a radical transformation. And that radical transformation is going to come, hopefully, from one of these three gentlemen. And again, I strongly recommend that you go listen to this debate between Gingrich and Herman Cain at C-SPAN, because they had a chance to lay out some of their plans. And it's fascinating. But what they're saying means that there's going to have to be a transformation in things that have been done for years and years. And there has to be. We cannot continue along with these same tired policies that we've been doing for the last 40 to 100 years. We have to change them. We have to overhaul Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. We have to do something about these things. And Obama's quick to blame the Republicans for everything, but it's really his party that caused a lot of these problems. I mean, Social Security used to be a separate entity until Lyndon Johnson made it into a, threw it into a general fund. And as Newt Gingrich says in this debate, and since then, everybody's been looking for ways to steal money from it. We're stealing money from Peter to pay Paul. And if you listen long enough and to a lot of stuff coming out of Washington, you just scratch your head and think, you know, Madoff is in jail for this Ponzi scheme, and the whole federal government is really a Ponzi scheme. Social Security, as Rick Perry said, is a Ponzi scheme. Yet nobody's going to jail for that. And, of course, President Obama, he continues to blame the Republicans for everything. The man is delusional. He thinks every decision he's made is right. He said that. He thinks he's the greatest president since sliced bread. And he has the greatest cabinet in the world. Ever. Not to mention the socialists and the communists that he has put into it. He's a man that was elected and was totally not prepared for the position of the presidency. And we have all suffered for his incompetence. And we cannot afford another 4 years of his incompetence. Can't do it. Can't do it. Just look around the country. He's not creating jobs. He's not helping businesses. His EPA, his Environmental Protection Agency, keeps putting out regulations on a daily basis that are killing businesses, large and small. His Obamacare, people are afraid to hire because they don't know how it's going to affect their insurance and their bottom line. And meantime, the jobs are all going away. The corporations are moving offshore. Why? Because they're not as regulated. They're not taxed as highly in other countries. Our taxes on corporations are too freaking high. They're too high. They're the highest in the world. We are so overregulated in certain areas and underregulated in others that it is ridiculous. And now Obama wants to use executive authority to override Congress. He doesn't want to go through Congress. Mr. Obama, this is not a dictatorship. It is why we have a Congress. It is called checks and balances. But he wants to use executive orders to go around everything. And I wish I had the clip. I forgot to save it. But there was even a Democratic congressman said that maybe it's time that this democracy thing is getting in the way. Well, congressman, you should be voted out of office and really see how this this democracy thing is getting in the way. I have a fear in the back of my mind, and I hope it doesn't come about. But, you know, there was a Democratic governor already suggested that because of the turmoil and the economy the way it is, that we suspend elections. Just one time. And being a little cynical sometimes, I look at this occupation movement and I get nervous that if it starts to get even more violent in many other cities as we get closer to the presidential election, what if martial law comes down or some such nonsense and an executive order comes down that we cannot hold the elections because of the turmoil in the country? I hope that doesn't happen. And I hope that's not the case. But when you see a movement like this and you see that it's backed by the liberals and the Obama administration and Acorn and the unions, you start to wonder. You start to wonder this close to a presidential election whether they would actually try to do something like that. And if they did, would they be prepared for the consequences? Because I think the outrage would put the organization, the organizing Wall Street campaign to shame. I just hope that doesn't come about. But one never knows, because Barack Obama loves his executive actions. I mean, he said he's going to do a lot of it to heal the economy without the dysfunctional Congress. Those are his words. He's not going to heal anything. Because he's an idiot. His plans do not work. He's not in touch with the American people. He's not in touch with what's going on in Washington. He made a statement saying that he's waiting for the Republicans to come up with a job bill. Republicans in the House have passed a number of jobs bill. They have passed budgets. They have passed everything. The problem is with your Senate, Mr. President, your democratically controlled Senate, which puts a squash on everything that comes out of the House of Representatives. Plans that would help this country have been squashed by Harry Reid and the Democratic Senate. Your Senate, Mr. Obama. And what did you get passed when you had both the Senate and the House in your favor? You You passed nothing. The Senate hasn't passed a budget in 900 and some odd days. Do you address that? Do you question that? Well, man, they just don't feel like it. In the meantime, we sit and we hear about another package of money coming out. That'll do it. Let's put together a package, and that's my job's bill. And yet, we hear about all the money that went to Solyndra and the other energy efficient green corporations that have gone under. And we hear about the DOJ and Fast and Furious and what Holder knew and when he knew it and all the waste there, but nobody complains. And then we hear the Democrats on the super committee who want to come up with a plan, and their plan is, whoa, wait for it. Let's raise taxes. Doesn't anybody have an idea what to do? Yes, they do. Look at the Ryan plan. Look at the plans that were passed by the Republican Congress that were shut down, stopped by Harry Reid and the Democratic Senate. So the super committee is meeting. They are going to lead us out of the wilderness. But didn't we do this already? Didn't we have a committee that was formed earlier in the Obama presidency? Wasn't it the Simpson was on it, and they made Senator Simpson from Wyoming, and they made suggestions that would have solved a lot of these, economic problems. And that one suggestion was accepted by the Obama administration. So why are they going to accept anything that's done now? He'll override it somehow. Executive authority. My friends, we need to get this man out of office because this country cannot take four more years of Obama. We just cannot do it. It would be the total ruination of this country. And we'll be back to close it out after these short messages.
This is Barry from Metz Musings. Be sure to tune in weekly to Gary and myself at Metz Musings at Podomatic.com and also on iTunes.
Barack Obama's legacy of failure. High unemployment rates persist after the government bailed out banks, automobile companies, and targeted our healthcare system. Federal employees now earn more than twice as much as those of us employed by the private sector. Obama has crippled Americans with a $14 trillion national debt. Nearly $1 trillion is owed by the U.S. to China alone. And while Obama earns a reputation for incompetence around the globe, our borders here at home remain unsecured as drug traffickers and terrorists seek to exploit our negligence. But now, we the people are fighting back for fiscal responsibility, a return to constitutional principles, with greater individual liberty and less government regulation over our lives. We deserve new leadership that serves with honor, integrity, and decency. Join us online at CampaignToDefeatObama.com.
Our country deserves better. PAC, TeaPartyExpress.org is responsible for the content of this ad.
Oh, 516-619-6341. That's the voicemail, comment, feedback, hotline, whatever you wish to call it. If you'd like to contact the show, give us a call, and we'd be happy to play your comment on the line. Or if you would care to email us, you can. You can email us at leaningrightnow@gmail.com. And finally, man broke into an Oregon home to watch television. Police in Oregon say a man broke into a home in Portland, Oregon, to watch television. The Oregonian reports that 32-year-old Jason Leon Bastrom faces charges of criminal trespass after the homeowner called police. Police say Bastrom let himself in through an unlocked door early on Sunday and sat down on a couch to watch television. They say the homeowner alerted authorities and then sent over a family member who lived nearby. Authorities say the family member confronted Bastrom and struck him in the head, knocking him unconscious. Authorities took Bastrom to the hospital to be treated for injuries before booking him into the county jail. And folks, you cannot make this stuff up. And that is what's going on this week. And I hope that you enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll come back again next time. And go to Podomatic and subscribe, and go to iTunes and subscribe to the show. And we'll see you all next time. And until then,
happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds?